ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 69, Narada visits Krishna's palaces, text 7 and 8, text number 7. Tasyam Antapuram Srimad Architam Sarvadhishnyapai हरे स्वकौशलम् यत्र त्वष्ट्रा कार्ष्णेन दर्शितम् तस्यामन्तपुरं श्रीमद् अर्चितं सर्वधिष्ण्यपये हरे स्वकौशलम् यत्र त्वष्ट्रा कार्ष्णेन दर्शितम् तस्यामन्तपुरम् श्रीमान् अर्चितम् सर्वधिष्ण्यपये हरे स्वकौशलम् यत्र त्वष्ट्रा कार्ष्णेन दर्शितम् तस्यामन्तपुरम् श्रीमान् अर्चितम् सर्वधिष्ण्यपये हरे स्वकौशलम् यत्र त्वष्ट्रा कार्ष्णेन दर्शितम् Matajis. Word to word meaning. Tasyam, in that Dwarka, Antapuram, the private royal precinct, Srimad, opulent, Architam, worshipped, Sarva, all, Dishnya, of the various planetary systems by the maintainers Hare of Lord Hari Swa his own Kaushalam expertise Yatra where Twastra by Twasta Vishwakarma the architect of heaven Karsnena completely Darshitam shown. There is one more verse additional to this verse. I will read that. Tatra sodashabhi sadma sahasre samalankritam viveshaikatamam shaure patninam bhavanam mahat. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. In the city of Dwarka was a beautiful private quarter worshipped by the planetary rulers. This district where the demigod Vishwakarma had shown all his divine skill was the residential area of Lord Hari, and thus it was gorgeously decorated by the 16,000 palaces of Lord Krishna's queens. Narad Muni entered one of these immense palaces. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Twashta or Vishwakarma manifested the expertise of the Supreme Lord, and thus he was able to build such exquisite palaces. Srila Prabhupada writes, the great kings and princes of the world used to visit these palaces just to worship Lord Krishna. The architectural plans were made personally by Vishwakarma, the engineer of the demigods, and in construction of the palaces, he exhibited all of his talents and ingenuity. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Translation once again. In the city of Dwarka was a beautiful private quarter worshipped by the planetary rulers. This district where the demigod Vishwakarma had shown all his divine skill was the residential area of Lord Hari, and thus it was gorgeously decorated by the 16,000 palaces of Lord Krishna's queens. Narad Muni entered one of these immense palaces. So this chapter contains a beautiful description of the entire city of Dwarka. Through Narad Muni we are getting a glimpse of the opulence of Dwarka. In today's world there are so many townships which are named as Dwarka. In Mumbai, in so many metropolitan cities, Dwarka Township, Dwarka Residency. But that is not even perverted reflection of this Dwarka. Perverted reflection should have something resembling in the opposite direction. But compared to Dwarka of Krishna, everything we have now in this material world is full of faults and so many problems. Within Dwarka city, Prabhupada says Dwarka district. Within Dwarka district is a section called as which is Krishna's private property, Krishna's palaces. So today also we have Krishna palace also, so many Krishna palaces, Krishna apartments. But nothing can compare to Krishna's real apartments which are mentioned here. Some place we have a big residency, Krishna colony, and in each building there is Rukmini building, Satyabhama building, Jambavati building. So people have used all their imagination to try to imitate Dwarka. But this Dwarka cannot be imitated. Because this Dwarka is not something mundane. It is directly come from the spiritual world. It is Swadham, the own spiritual abode of the Lord. In fact, it is mentioned here that the palaces are made, are constructed with rubies, gold and other important metals. They are not of concrete. And especially no concrete with cracks and leakages. It's special. And there are opulent houses. No small flats. So this is Dwarka which we are discussing. And we are thankful that we are getting a chance through the eye of Narad Muni see this Dwarka. The Dwarka was only present for a certain time on this earth planet. And then it disappeared along with Krishna. But the same Dwarka is visible to us through the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, through the beautiful narration given here. So it is mentioned here that Narad Muni is intrigued. Narad Muni wants to know more and therefore is entering Dwarka. He wants to know about how Krishna's married life is going on. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, in the 10th chapter, the description is given that Lord Krishna is leaving Hastinapur. And the next chapter begins of Krishna's arrival in Dwarka. So while leaving for Dwarka from Hastinapur, all the devotees in Hastinapur have congregated and they are giving a farewell to Krishna. And they are glorifying Krishna. They are praising Krishna. So while praising Krishna, a group of devotees, ladies who are on the rooftop of Hastinapur buildings, they are seeing Krishna and they are glorifying Krishna. In fact, they are glorifying Krishna's devotee, the Dwarka Vasis, and they are glorifying Dwarka. So one of these glorification, they are mentioning that how Dwarka Vasis are so fortunate that they have with them the presence of Lord Krishna and a special city of Dwarka, which is actually a spiritual abode. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that actually in this whole planet system, Earth is in the middle planets. and swarga, heaven is on the topmost. So by the classification, the heaven is always opulent and more prized or more worthy than earth planet. Prabhupada writes, but when Krishna stayed on earth planet, he imported his Dwarka. And as soon as Dwarka was imported here, what happened? The earth became more worthy than even heaven. So heavenly planet was, the stock market went down for heavenly planet. The earth got more price because of the presence of Dwarka. So this is the beautiful description of Dwarka given here. In fact, Bhagavatam mentions different places about the opulence of Dwarka. In fact, here we are seeing the opulence of Dwarka from the angle of Narad Muni. In some other places, Shukdev Goswami is describing about Dwarka. In some other place, Suta Goswami is describing. In some other place, Sudama is describing his vision of Dwarka. So different places, different devotees have described their description of Dwarka. And here is one where Narad Muni is describing the beautiful description of Dwarka. So it is mentioned here that Narad Muni has entered into Dwarka, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that it was Narad Muni's ardent desire to see how Krishna has expanded into 16,108 forms just to please his wives. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Narad Muni's desire intrigued him to go to Dwarka himself and check out what's happening. And because Narad Muni's desire is so strong, and he went there, and as a result, his whole description has come in the Bhagavatam. So in great souls, they have a desire. Their desire results in the welfare of thousands and generations of people to come. They get benefited by the result. Like Shukdev Goswami tells Parikshit Mar, Varyan Eshate Prashna. That your questions are very, very nice, because your questions are for the welfare of everyone in mankind, for generations to come. Because Parikshit Maharaj asked those questions, Shukdev Goswami described Bhagavatam. And that Bhagavatam is available for us to read and hear and know about Krishna and Krishna's various opulences. So here is Narad Muni's specific desire. A pure devotee's desire leads to the welfare of everyone. So Narad Muni's desire here to see Krishna's beautiful family life. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Narad Muni was intrigued that how can Krishna ever do such a powerful thing. So Narad Muni just hypothesizing that maybe he expanded into 16,108 forms, but he wanted to actually personally see with his own eyes how Krishna has done so. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Narad Muni thought that Shaubri Muni had expanded into 9 forms or 51 forms like that. But each of those forms were different bodies. But here was Narad Muni intrigued that Krishna is not going to distribute himself in different bodies. The self same person is expanding the self same way into 16,108. And that's going to be sensational. So Narad Muni is very intrigued, and therefore is visiting Dwarka for this. I was reading a transcription of a lecture which Maharaj gave, Radhanath Swami Maharaj gave, when he went for Dwarka. And he was mentioning that in Vrindavan, one of the famous pastimes of Vrindavan, of all pastimes, is Krishna's Rasa Leela. And one of the famous pastimes in Dwarka of all pastimes is Krishna's marrying 16,108 queens. So Radhanath Swami Maharaj was mentioning that Krishna always does something sensational. And through sensational things, he teaches us. So Maharaj mentioned this point that people may think why he married so many 16,108 queens. In fact, Maharaj said that Krishna married those queens to show everyone in the world how to be a perfect husband. Krishna showed the example how a perfect husband can live, how he should behave. Maharaj mentioned in his class that Krishna never let any of her wife feel lonely. He would always be present for their entertainment, for their enjoyment. And in this way, Krishna always led a perfect household life. And Maharaj mentioning that actually when Krishna would very religiously perform his duty. So the morning would wake up and then as we will see in this particular chapter, the descriptions will come. Then Krishna would now start for his official duty to go to Sudharma assembly. And the assembly where all the great of the king Urasen sitting, and there is a big court there. So Krishna would come out of each palace. So 16,108 Krishnas would come from 16,108 palaces. And all together they would come and one place they would merge, and one Krishna would walk into Sudharma assembly. And then in the evening after Sudharma assembly was over, then Krishna would come out and then you expand into 16,108 forms and they would all go to 16,108 palaces. This was Krishna. In fact, when Krishna brought 16,100 queens from the captivity of Narakasur, it is mentioned that he married all of them. And he married them in a style. He had a palace already ready for them. It was not like it was under construction and they were kept for some time here and there. It was already built, ready. And they all, Krishna performed marriage with each of them in their palaces. And each of the palaces, it was not like Vasudeva and Devaki were having trouble, which palace should I go for visiting my son's marriage. Krishna expanded them also. So all 16,108 palaces had 16,108 Devaki, Vasudev, and all the relatives of Krishna. That's how Krishna expanded. That is Krishna's opulence. So this is what Narad Muni wants to see. And as he goes through each and every palace, he will be actually fascinated by the wonderful description and wonderful sight he is going to see. In fact, Krishna makes it very enticing, very exciting for him, because Narad Muni, as he enters into one Krishna's palace, Krishna makes it in the morning time. So he sees Krishna, what's happening in the morning with Krishna. In some other palace he goes and he sees immediately it's a noon time, and what Krishna does at the noon time. In some other palace it's night time, what Krishna is. So Narad Muni got chance to see all the activities of Krishna in different daytime, different times of the day. That is the greatness of Krishna, in reciprocating with his pure devotees' desires. In a purport, it is mentioned here, the translation purport, that the demigods would come to see Krishna and meet Krishna. Why? Because to get the darshan of Krishna was very rare. Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book that for the demigods to meet even Lord Narayan is so difficult. They have to approach Brahma, and then Brahmaji, along with all demigods, they sit on the shores of the ocean of milk, and they make a prayer, and all they can, of all of them, just Brahma is able to just hear the message, and the message is conveyed. So it's not like demigods are regularly able to see Lord Narayan. And here is a chance now, demigods are seeing that at this time, on earth planet, Lord Krishna is there, and He is a Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, and therefore they all come one by one to visit him. It is mentioned that when Satrajit, he was wearing that beautiful Samanta Kamani and he entered Dwarka, everyone thought that sun god has come, because it was very normal for demigods to come and meet Lord Krishna, and therefore they ran in an exciting manner and told Krishna, sun god has come to meet you. So, sun god would come in this way, other demigods would come, Yamaraj would come, Brahmaji came. One day Brahmaji became intrigued and he wanted to come and see Lord Krishna. So he came on the palace, on the door, and he was stopped by the guards. And he said, "Who are you?" I said, "Who? Such a question you are asking? I am Brahma." He said, "Okay." So they went inside and they told Lord Krishna, "Brahma has come to meet you." So the guards came out and said, "Krishna is asking which Brahma?" So Brahma also became disturbed. "Which Brahma? I am the only Brahma in this universe. Is there any other Brahma?" So just tell him that four-headed Brahma has come. And then Brahmaji enters and he sees that what to speak of. He was so surprised. There were so many Brahmas who had come from different universes. 8-headed, 16-headed, and you can multiply those numbers. Millions of heads of Brahma. And this four-headed Brahma, his four heads are reeling, seeing those Brahma. And then he could realize whom I am visiting. It is not just some person, but his supreme personality of Godhead to get his audience to meet him was very rare. So this is Dwarka. This is the beauty of Dwarka, where Krishna resided along with his liberated Vaishnavas. It is said here that Vishwakarma, he built this palace for Krishna. So Lord would always arrange for many services of Vishwakarma. It is said Vishwakarma is like an engineer of demigods. Some places mentioned he is a designer for demigods. In some places mentioned he is an architect of demigods. Nonetheless, having given an opportunity, Vishwakarma has got opportunity to do so many fabulous creations. But here he wasn't getting a private opportunity, personal opportunity to render service to Krishna. Now he is definitely going to use all of his wonderful talents and skills to build Dwarka. So apart from his talents and skills, he is also very fast. Within one night, he created the whole palace of Dwarka. It is mentioned in the previous chapter in the 10th canto that Lord Krishna and Balaram, when they saw that Jarasandha was continuously coming and waging a war against them, 17th time Jarasandha was about to come, they came to know that Kali Yavan is also about to attack Mathura. And that time Krishna decided that we should move out from Mathura and relocate at a place which is much more safer. And that time Krishna decided and he invited Vishwakarma to make a beautiful palace called as Dwarka within the sea. So overnight Vishwakarma made that beautiful palace. So it is mentioned Vishwakarma was a wonderful, amazing demigod. In fact, it is mentioned the whole Swarga Loka was designed by Vishwakarma. And then it is mentioned that Vishwakarma wanted to design something fabulous for Lord Shiva. So for Lord Shiva, he designed a beautiful city of gold. But Lord Shiva is so renowned, he gave it to Kuvera, his devotee. So Kuvera stayed in that city of gold. But later Ravan came and he removed Kuvera, threw him away and sat in that city. This is the city of Lanka, which Vishwakarma made. And in Dwapar Yuga now, Vishwakarma is getting an opportunity to make city for Lord Krishna himself. So this is the beauty of Dwarka. And it is said so that Dwarka, the word Dwarka means city of gates, Dwarka. Also, Dwarka may also mean it is the city to spiritual world. That is Dwarka. Dwarka has many names. Kushastali also has a name called as Anartha province. It is said in, just like when Krishna comes, before Krishna comes, his abode comes, the Vrindavan Dham, Govardhan Parvat, Yamuna, they all appear before Krishna. So it is said that before Krishna appeared, his own spiritual abode Dwarka also appeared. So just like Vrindavan appears or Govardhan appears, previously before Krishna appearing, so they also have a pastime of how they come on earth planet. So Dwarka also has a pastime of how it came on the earth planet. It is mentioned that there was one king, his name was, this is a question which was asked by Bahulashwar to Narad Muni Garga Samhita, that how Dwarka appeared before Krishna. So there was a king whose name was Shariyati and he was a very great pious king, very great ruler. He had conquered the entire earth planet. However, he had some pride because of his conquering the entire planet. This Shariyati had three beautiful sons, Uttanabarihi, Anartha and Bhuri Sena. So at a time of retirement, Shariyati thought that I should divide my kingdom properly. So he gave east part to Uttanabarihi. To Bhuri Sena he gave south part and the west part he gave to Anartha. And then while distributing the kingdom, Shariyati was boasting. He was saying that the whole earth is mine. I am most powerful. I am the one who is protecting the earth planet and ruling this earth planet. And because of me, everything is going right on the earth planet. So while he was boasting, Anartha, who happened to be a very great devotee of Lord Krishna, was feeling very sad that why should his father boast so much. So when his father kept on boasting, his sadness turned into a smile. And his smile turned into a laughter and started laughing loudly, uncontrollably. So Shariyati became confused and asked his son that why you're laughing? Is there something which I am joking here? And another said, yes, certainly you're always joking and today also you're joking mood. You're quoting all those beautiful praises for you. And Anartha said, actually, no one is in control. The only controller is Krishna. Krishna is the owner of everything, Krishna protects everything, Krishna rules everything. And we consider ourselves to be protector, ruler and controller for short duration of time, we boast ourselves. So kindly don't boast, my father. So now Shariyati, his false ego got so much punctured by his own son, Shariyati became angry. And he said, today I made my will and I made you one of the partners in my will. And today only you are showing your true colors. So today I will remove you from the kingdom. You say that I am not the owner of anything. Okay, so you go ahead. I own everything on the earth planet. So I tell you that you go away to a place which is not owned by me. I remove you, banish my kingdom. So Anand said, okay, no problem. Shariyati said, well, we'll see what happens to you. So it is mentioned that because he was told to go to the west, he moved towards the west and he came to this place on the shores of an ocean. And he thought, even the shore of an ocean belongs to my father's kingdom, so I will not stay here. So he decided to go inside the ocean, because you know, the ocean is not my father's. So he went inside the ocean, and in the ocean he performed tapasya and penance, trying to please Krishna, because he thought he has defended Krishna properly. So he performed a great tapasya, 10,000 years, and Krishna became so pleased with him, Krishna gave his beautiful darshan to Anuruddha, and told him, I know your problem, and to solve your problem, your crisis, I am going to offer you a special land. This is going to be something which is not on earth planet. And then Lord summoned Sudarshan Chakra, that you go ahead, and from the spiritual world, you get 800 miles of my spiritual abode. So Sudarshan Chakra went, and on Sudarshan Chakra, the entire Dwarka, a part of Dwarka came, and was kept on the planet earth within the ocean. And said, this is my place, Dwarka, and because you are the one who were responsible for getting Dwarka down, this place will also be called as Anartha province. And it is mentioned that Anartha ruled that place. This is before, long before Krishna actually appeared. In due course of time, Anartha's son, Revata, he ruled that place. And then we find in the Bhagavatam some description about Revata. He was much more a bigger devotee of Krishna, pure devotee of Krishna. And he thought that this Dwarka is so wonderful. That time Dwarka was not just this dvipa, but Dwarka also meant some portion of land on the shores. In fact, in the scriptures mentioned that Dwarka, apart from the Dwarka, the island, Dwarka also ranged from the current Dwarka city to the place called as Somnath. That whole area was Dwarka. So it is mentioned that Revata was thinking that there are so many beautiful things in the city, but there is not a mountain in the city. So Revata went and got a beautiful mountain from Mount Shaila, and he kept the mountain there. And this mountain became the abode of many demigods. Even today that mountain is called as Revata Mountain, which in today's term they call as Girnar Parvat or Junagadh in the Junagadh district, which came from Revata. So Revata was such a wonderful devotee. He had only one daughter. Her name was Revati. And decided to marry her. So he did not know whom to marry her. So he went to Brahmaloka. He decided to have Brahmaji as his daughter's marriage counselor. So he went to Brahmaji. But Brahmaji was busy that time. So he had to wait for a moment. And after that moment passed, Brahmaji said, what do you want? He said, you tell me which is the perfect match. I have so many people in my mind on the earth planet. Whom should I marry my daughter? He said, all those people whom you have thought, they all have died. Thousands and thousands of years have passed. So if you go down now, you are fortunate. Krishna is there on the planet earth now, Dwarka. So now you go and marry your daughter, Revati, to Balramji. So this way Revat came down with Revati, and it is mentioned that Balramji married Revati, like that. So this is the connection of Anartha. Because of him, Dwarka came, and in his kingdom, in his descent, in his succession, there was Revata, whose daughter eventually married Lord Balaram. So there are beautiful pastimes mentioned in the Bhagavatam and also in Puranas about Dwarka. So Narad Muni's, we will see as chapter unfolds, the angle from the vision of Narad Muni, how Dwarka looks. We will also see from Bhagavatam now, the different angles from different devotees of how Dwarka looks. It is mentioned by Shukdev Goswami in the 10th canto, 58th chapter, where Krishna establishes Dwarka. Shukdev Goswami describes Dwarka as having houses which are covered by gold and having jeweled roofs. The floors are inlaid by emeralds, and apart from the residential building, there are other buildings which are warehouse, treasury, stables for horses, and they are all made of silver and brass. In fact, Sri Swami mentions in a commentary in this particular chapter that all these houses are private houses belonging to one particular family, but they are multi-story, and they had watch towers also. So each house had a watch tower. That was opulence. And Sridhar Swami mentions that apart from the great highways and the mini roads flanking the whole city, each house had their private property, a green area. Today we call it as green area. So parking lot was on top, special vehicles which could flew, and there were gardens, parks for each person's house. So this is a description given. And then Sukadeva Goswami also mentions that the demigods came and decided to also serve in Dwarka. So all the demigods would come and give some special things they had for the city of Dwarka. So Indra gave Sudharma assembly for Dwarka city. It is mentioned that Lord Varuna offered horses, which were all Dwarka horses, which were there, were offered by Varuna. And Kuvera opened his treasury for Dwarka city, and his special 8 mystic treasuries were given to Dwarka. So all different demigods would come and offer something. Then Krishna also went and brought Parijata tree from heavenly planet and put it in Dwarka. So this is a description of Dwarka given by Sukadeva Goswami in Bhagavatam. In the 11th chapter of first canto, Suta Goswami mentions about Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. And there is another description of Dwarka given here. It is said that when Krishna left Hastinapur, Krishna was traveling towards Dwarka, but on the way he visited many other provinces where all of his devotees knew that Krishna is going to pass through this area. They were waiting for Krishna's special darshan. So they were waiting there, and when Krishna came, Krishna spent time with them, and finally Krishna reached Dwarka. So devotees in Dwarka knew Krishna is coming, but they didn't know when actually it's going to happen, because Krishna was taking a lot of transits in between before reaching Dwarka. So finally when Krishna reached on the precincts of Dwarka, Krishna decided to make an announcement to all the Dwarkavasis that he has come. And one of his ways which he makes his announcement is that he blows his conch shell. So he has his beautiful Panchajanya Shankh. And Bhagavata mentions in the 11th chapter that when Krishna blew his conch shell, it was so beautiful that conch shell was heard in each and every house and palaces in Dwarka. That is Krishna. Krishna did not exert to blow a conch shell. Sometimes pujaris may exert to make a loud sound. But Krishna blew very, very beautifully, and everyone could hear. And when Krishna blew the conch shell, it is mentioned, Bhagavata mentions that this white conch shell, by the touch of Krishna's red lips, became red in color. So Prabhupada mentions, this is the special potency of Krishna. Anything which comes in touch with Krishna becomes spiritualized. And Prabhupada says in the purport, that similarly when Krishna comes in the form of his deity in the temple, that place which may be ordinary place also becomes spiritualized. It becomes Krishna's own abode. So anything Krishna comes in touch gets spiritualized. And Prabhupada says, similarly, when Krishna comes in his holy abode, the whole land where it performs his leela becomes spiritualized. And Prabhupada says, not only that, when a devotee of Krishna remembers Krishna, and Krishna enters his heart and sits in his heart, that devotee himself becomes an abode of Krishna, and he carries Krishna with him. So when Prabhupada makes that statement in the purport, I was remembering that how Srila Prabhupada is a perfect example of this, where Krishna, Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, but then he left Vrindavan and carried Vrindavan with him. And what happened? Wherever he went, he was establishing new Dwarka, new Vrindavan, new Jagannath Puri, and all those places in the Western world, because Krishna was carrying the holy abodes with him. So Vishwanath Chakra Thakur mentions, the conch shell in Krishna's hand was like a white swan playing in the stem of a red lotus. So when the sound was heard, all the Dwarka Vasis became so happy, they literally came running on the gate. from all sides, there were nothing but crowds and crowds of devotees flanking on the main gate. When they came, they saw Krishna from very far distance. Just by seeing Krishna, their hearts, which were dejected by the absence of Krishna, became very much thrilled. They offered their worship to Krishna, they offered glorification to Krishna and their prayers to Krishna, because they knew very well that it is very rare to have Krishna. Krishna cannot be controlled. Srila Prabhupada says, people may think Krishna had 16,100 wives, so he must be very lusty. Because that's what is projected. If someone has too many girlfriends, Prabhupada writes, that person must be lusty, because he is not satisfied with one person, he wants many. Prabhupada mentioned, actually Krishna is self-satisfied. In fact, Krishna is so beautiful, Krishna doesn't want anything else, but other people want Krishna, so they come running to Krishna. So Krishna is so beautiful that people come running to him, and his devotees who run after him, they are all of different varieties. Some are rich devotees, some are aristocratic devotees, some are learned devotees. So if all types of devotees can come, Prabhupada said, why not beautiful devotees can come? So therefore these beautiful queens were running after Krishna, just so that they could serve Krishna. So it was not Krishna was actually wanting them, Krishna accepted their devotion service. But it was them who wanted Krishna more. So Krishna was in the mood of accepting. Garga Samhita mentions that Lord Ram, when he appeared on the planet Earth, he had taken a vow that he would follow one Eka Patni Vrata, only one wife. However, Lord Ram was so beautiful that whenever, wherever he went, all the ladies, the young ladies in that particular place, would desire in their heart to have Lord Ram as their husband. Lord Ram went and married Sita Devi in Janakpur. It is mentioned all the ladies in Janakpur, the young ladies, they were in their heart desiring to have Lord Ram as their husband. So Lord Ram heard the desire of all the devotees and told them, in this lifetime I cannot fulfill your desires, but next time I come, I will marry you all. So Lord Ram was everywhere going and promising everyone, I will marry you all next time, next time, next time. And so Krishna had to come and settle all the account. So Krishna married so many queens in Dwarka, and he had so many gopis in Vrindavan. So this is Krishna. So Krishna was there, very beautiful, and he attracted everyone in Dwarka. So now Krishna enters Dwarka city, and then the camera focuses on what Dwarka city is. It is mentioned that when Krishna enters Dwarka, Dwarka was opulent because one of the opulence of Dwarka was all the seasons were simultaneously existing in Dwarka. All the seasons. It would rain also, it would be a little hot also, it will be springs, it will be autumn, everything together as per the need of devotees' particular service to Krishna. That was all opulences were there in terms of seasonal changes. And then it is mentioned Dwarka also had hermitages. Sages and rishis would stay there. There are beautiful orchards, there are flower garden, there are parks, there are reservoir of water with lotuses inside. And Prabhupada says, this is a perfect civilization. Perfect human civilization means living close to nature and utilizing nature's gift, Prabhupada says. And Prabhupada says, today's civilization is factory, mills, slaughterhouses. And therefore there is so much of chaos. Prabhupada says, when someone lives with nature or is utilizing natural gifts, what happens? The propensities of human being, the instincts of a real human being develop properly in a person. And such a human being, a developed human being, can focus on devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada says. But when there is no natural environment, what happens? Person becomes so monotonous. That person completely forgets what is the real goal of life, what is the real aim of life. And Prabhupada says this natural living is so much inherent in every person's heart. Prabhupada says that even in cities, those people who can afford, big rich people, they look for a house in a place where there is a green area, or they have their own courtyard, they have a terrace garden, something like that, you know, in modern day terrace garden. Or sometimes some people advertise that they have, on the 10th floor they have a garden. Why people? Because they have the natural instinct. And Prabhupada says only a few people who are rich can afford, while maximum people in city can only live in congested dungeons and thus miss the opportunity of natural gifts. Then Prabhupada says, Dwarka was filled with trees, which were all flower and fruit laden trees. And Prabhupada gives the example, today people plant trees on the roads, and most of the trees are not even flower giving nor fruit giving. The only thing they can give is the fuel. And Prabhupada mentions, if there were only flower and fruit laden trees, it would be so nice. And especially if there are banana, plantain trees and mango trees. And Prabhupada said, when there are festivals, what happens? In festivals, you can use these trees on the road, free available. Their leaves can be used as festoons and flags, and flowers can be used for decorating, and their fruits can be used, banana tree box can be used. And Prabhupada said, everything was naturally available, and therefore it was easy for people to decorate their rooms, their houses. There was no cost affair. All because all these trees were easily available. So there were special festivals in Dwarka. So when Krishna came, there was a special festival to welcome him. And Dwarka is full of highways, subways, lanes, markets, public meeting places. And they were all immaculately clean, Prabhupada says in translation. And Prabhupada says that they were not very small cities. They were very big, huge cities. And not only that, each and every street of Dwarka was sprayed by fragrant water which came by distilling flowers like rose and keoda, Prabhupada says. So this is the whole description of Dwarka is given in the 11th chapter of this first canto. In fact, as we are just now on the 7th and 8th verse of this particular chapter, and as we go ahead, we'll see Narad Muni seeing Dwarka from his eyes, and he would, from his eyes we could see what beauty the Dwarka had, this beautiful place. So we will let that happen now, and we'll see the as devotees further discuss on the glories of Dwarka. In fact, it is mentioned that Krishna's Dwarka was perfect in everything. It was perfectly supplied with all necessities, and Krishna also dealt perfectly with his devotees. One devotee, just recently someone gave Bhagavatam, I don't remember which devotee, but he mentioned that Krishna dealt with his wives very perfectly as per their nature. In fact, the devotee also mentioned that it was not like Krishna was the same Krishna everywhere. Krishna also adjusted his size and his shape as per the stature of his wife. So we can see how Krishna is so kind and sensitive to every devotee's need. So in this way, Krishna performed his pastimes in Dwarka, and it is mentioned that today, unfortunately, for many of us, we have no chance to visit Dwarka because Dwarka is submerged in the water. But still, Krishna is so kind that he has left something there, a reminiscence of what his abode was. Today, if you go to Dwarka, you'll find a beautiful Dwarka, this temple, where Vajranab established the beautiful beauty of Dwarkadish there, a beautiful temple he built. And even today, thousands and thousands of people come there. In fact, Krishna wanted a private place. And devotees mentioned, the local devotees there mentioned that even today, Krishna's desire of having a private place is still prominent because Dwarka is still remote. Not much development has happened in Dwarka. Because if you go to Dwarka on the road or rail, you will find just empty land for long, long hours, and finally Dwarka coming, and after some time some Okha, that port coming. That's it, nothing else much. So even that today is remote place, Dwarka. So Dwarka, this temple is there, and then few minutes drive from there, half an hour from there, we find this Bait Dwarka, where it is mentioned that there is a small place which is a reminiscence of Krishna's own island of Dwarka. A little portion remained. And devotees go and visit that place. And that is the place, it is mentioned, where Sudama also came. That's local lore of that, the Stala Puran mentions. And there is Gopi Talav, and there is river Gomati. It is mentioned that when Krishna appeared, before Krishna appeared in Dwarka, along with Dwarka, river Gomati also came. So it is mentioned that Vasishtha was just like Bhagirath was the one who brought Ganga down. So Vasishtha became the instrument to get Gomati down, to flow next to Dwarka. And how this, so when Gomati had already appeared, but she had not manifested. So it is mentioned that, it is said that when Krishna was in Dwarka, And one time Krishna saw the, I guess it was Sudama. So when Sudama was there, Krishna saw Sudama was crying in ecstasy seeing his beautiful form. So Krishna became so happy that Krishna glided tears, and that tears came out and formed Gomati river, and that Gomati manifested there. So that Gomati flows into the ocean from Dwarka, and there are so many beautiful pastime places, Chakratirth, and the Pandavas visited that place, and so on and so forth. So this is something about Dwarka which we can, whatever information is available for us to remember and glorify Krishna's beautiful city of Dwarka. Hare Krishna. Well, India, thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.